taking notes. There will be a test later. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, welcome back to it on a Tuesday. Donald Trump tweeting 1 minute ago. Just for sport, sometimes I think he tweets. Even crazy Jim Acosta of fake news, CNN agrees. Trump world and White House sources dancing in the end zone. Trump wins again. Schumer and Dems caved, gambled, and lost. Thank you for your honesty, Jim. Thank you for the punch in the nose, Mr. President. Jim Acosta, the focus of some tweeting this morning. All right, my next guest, Susan Dudley, director of the George Washington University Regulatory Studies Center. And it seems that Jeff Sessions and this administration reining in the regulatory state. Susan, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. All right, so the number that I keep hearing, and maybe you can tell me whether it's true, 22 to 1. The number of regulations being removed for the number that are being added, a ratio of 22 to 1. The president had promised 2 to 1, and here we are at 22 to 1. It's a pretty impressive number, no matter how you try to mince it.
Yes, it is. It has to be taken with a grain of salt because some of the rules that they're counting as rules they're removing are not significant, whereas the rules that are coming in are. But still, it's 67 rules removed, or rule-like documents, and only three introduced.
So only three new regulations in a year?
It was actually in the first 8 months, I think. It's been a little bit more, but still, the ratio is well above 2 to 1.
How many rules did we get per year under the Obama administration?
Well, it depends on how you count rules, but it can be in the thousands, and this is probably average across administration, several thousands a year, but most of them are not very significant or wide-reaching. But there are hundreds that are.
So that's a significant number. No matter how you try to parse that, I mean, what they're doing here is not getting in the way of, well, pretty much anyone.
There's been a dramatic decrease in new regulatory activity. There's no doubt about that. And also, as you noted, with the 22 to 1, they're, for the first time, they're really looking back at existing regulations and seeing which ones we don't need.
Which is important, right? There's a lot of that going on, and it's going to continue. But how long can this pace continue? Even if they're not particularly significant rules, you cannot continue at a pace of 22 to 1 on infinitum, can you?
Probably not. Some of the biggest ticket rules that were removed last year were removed with the help of Congress, and there's a short window for doing that, getting rid of previous administration's regulations when a new president comes in. So they're going to have to do a lot more work for the ones that they remove going forward. But you mentioned at the top, Jeff Sessions and the Department of Justice.
Right.
There also are these insidious guidance documents that are not technically regulations or rules, and they're supposed to be non-binding advice, statements of policy, etc., but they have increasingly been used as binding.
It makes me laugh because it makes me think, when I was younger and worked in a couple of jobs, I had non-binding advice come from bosses along the way, and they could say non-binding, but about follow the rules, it did. And that's probably the same thing here, isn't it?
It is, and I think what the Attorney General has done within the Department of Justice has said, let's look back at all these guidance documents and make sure, A, they really are non-binding, and we treat them as such. We don't want enforcement attorneys treating them as if they're binding law. And also see which ones, if they were improperly issued, do it right this time, or eliminate them. So far, I think they've eliminated 25.
Yeah, there are 25 that dated back to 1975, improper or unnecessary, basically outdated.
Mm-hmm.
These guidance documents, from what I understand, they sit there. They just collect dust and, people forget about them until the government needs them to prosecute somebody, basically. They sit there until they can become weaponized, oftentimes. But by and large, they're obsolete and they need to go.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. And I think this has triggered a house cleaning in the government.
So, all right. So what are some of the big ones that we might have an interest in that we would know about the executive making rules and things getting swept back out the door that are improper?
So for guidances, I think the ones people would be most aware of would be things issued in the previous administration on immigration, education, Department of Education, like the transgender bathroom rules. Some of the immigration things were done through executive order and guidance. The ones that, probably most of the ones that the Attorney General has gotten rid of, we wouldn't have heard of because, as you say, they're just collecting dust.
Right, but transgender bathrooms, I mean, that's in the news, it seems, all the time, this battle over transgenderism and what it means and what it doesn't mean and who's protected and who's not and how it affects, I don't know, bathrooms, locker rooms, baseball teams, whatever, right? I mean, this is something we hear about a lot.
And how schools treat sexual assault was another thing that was treated, that was done through guidance. And that's the kind of thing that's important enough, significant enough, that the government should issue a regulation, get notice and comment from the public, people on the ground who really know how things are working, and not just do through
a dear
colleague
happen.
Letter.
See, that's confusing to me. Susan Dudley here, director of the George Washington University Regulatory Studies Center. They don't put out the notice for public comment, generally, the government, when they're putting in new rules and regulations?
They have to for new rules, but they don't for guidance documents.
And the difference being?
The guidance document is supposed to be non-binding. So it might be called an interpretive memoranda or a policy statement, or it might be a dear colleague letter sent to all universities.
But in reality, those guidance documents are usually applied the same as anything else.
Usually is probably not the right word, but they can be, and that's the problem. So a guidance document in itself isn't a problem because it is valuable to get information on how the department might be interpreting something.
Wasn't it a dear colleague letter like you just described that laid out transgender bathrooms?
I think it was.
I believe dear colleague in education.
Right.
Boom. Here's what you should do.
That is clearly an improper use.
Right, because it became a regulation.
Because it became de facto what everybody had to do.
Well, correct, because school districts around this country became confused and got entangled into believing that somehow that told them and gave them the legal right to make changes, which it did not, because we found that from some lawsuits recently, including one here not too far from where I'm sitting, that entangled some of those concerns. So that's the problem that I see with regulations and guidance letters, is they don't have the full force of law. If you're going to do things that matter, things of importance that have gravity, you should do it the proper way, the old-fashioned way. Go put it through the House and the Senate and get it signed.
Yeah, I'm afraid that ship has sailed on when it comes to regulations.
Well, I know.
I do think there is an increasing interest in making sure that at least it goes through regulation and not through a guidance document.
So Jeff Sessions doesn't get a lot of credit in a lot of places these days. He's kind of out there on his own a lot. But do you think he's done a good job in this arena?
I think he has. I think this is important. And what might be more important is it might affect how Department of Justice lawyers defend these other agencies.
Well,
when they try to use guidance documents as enforcement, in enforcement action.
Right. Is there basis for making an action against an individual or a business? Susan, good information. Greatly appreciate that. Greatly appreciate you stopping in. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
There you have it. Susan Dudley, director of the George Washington University Regulatory Studies Center. I will be right back with John Lott talking about there's nothing wrong with Trump's desire for better immigrants here to America. We'll talk about it.